are praising our Savior all the day long. And Father, as we praise you, as we praise Jesus, everything else fades away. We've been looking at that. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, nothing else matters. So we look to you tonight, Lord Jesus. Whatever has been going on in the week, whatever it is, Father, we thank you right now that you have it. You have it. We put it in your hands. And we thank you that, Lord Jesus, we look to you. And tonight, as Pastor Rodney's ministering, we believe we receive our answer. We believe we receive miracles right where we are. We thank you, Father, for financial breakthroughs tonight. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness covering us here, those watching. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. You know, our good, good Father has good gifts for us. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. He's a good daddy God. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. I'm expecting. We need to be expecting more of his goodness in our lives. We need to be expecting more of his favor in our lives, on our lives, in our church, in our families. Favor, the favor of God surrounds us as with a shield, and we believe we receive it. Praise the Lord. So if it is your first time, or if you need a reminder, our website is vlfc.church. There you can find out more about us, submit your prayer request, testimony, and go to our past messages, video, audio, and sermon notes. And I want to encourage you, submit your testimonies. I know you all have testimonies from what God's been doing. Submit your prayer requests. Those of you here in the room, on the offering envelopes, you can do it that way. We can lay hands on those, pray over them. We also always have prayer after service or before or any time with one another. And so I want to encourage us. That's why we're here. We are here. We encourage you. If you don't have a church home, those of you watching, come find a local church that is near you. If you're in the Ogallala area, we invite you to come join us. Praise God, a Bible-believing church, one that you're going to see a difference in your life. That's what we want. We don't want to just come to church, warm a pew, go home and be encouraged. It's great to be encouraged, but we need to get the word of God that makes a difference in our lives and those around us. We want to know how to do that. And that's why we're coming here tonight. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is on our website, and the link to it every morning is also on Facebook, which I have a nice part of that tonight in our offering message since it is Prosperity Month. Praise God. Next Wednesday, I want to let you know we will be having our fellowship dinner from 6 o'clock to 7:30. So we start at 6. There is a sign-up sheet over there on the table by the door. So fellowship dinner next Wednesday night. And we are looking forward to that. We have Friday prayer right here this Friday from 9 to 10. And on Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. So we invite you to come early for coffee and fellowship. I love seeing the ladies and gentlemen get together and visit and connect with one another. And that's part of our fellowship meal next Wednesday as well. And so we're looking forward to that. For volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters. We do need a couple greeters to sign up. Coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, in our worship team. So if you're interested in any of those areas, come and talk to us. We thank you for those of you serving and being a part. It's a blessing. And we pray the Lord pours that back out onto you. And we know he is, because he's faithful. So tonight, for our offering message, like I said, it is Prosperity Month with the daily devotionals. And so I thought, why change it up? The Lord's leading me to read these. Maybe you already read the devotional today, but it does not hurt to read it again. It's the Word of God. Pastor Rodney wrote these for us, and I believe this, actually, I don't have the number of the day on this one, and so I know we're approaching 200 We are approaching 200 daily devotionals that he has written. Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. And that time has gone fast because I'm telling you, it does not feel like we're already going on 200 of these, you know? And so what a blessing to get this every single day. So today's is You Live Under Heaven's Economy. Did you know that? Amen. Amen. As God's children, we do. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." You do not live under the limitations of the world's economy. You live under heaven's economy, an economy that never collapses, never fluctuates, never tightens, never runs dry. Philippians 4:19 declares that God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory, not according to earthly conditions. That means your provision is not tied to inflation, job markets, interest rates, or financial systems. Your supply flows from the unlimited riches of Christ. Do you receive that tonight? Praise God. Heaven's economy is not affected by scarcity because heaven has no scarcity. You are connected to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. To say you live under heaven's economy means you stop measuring your future by what you see around you. You stop letting headlines dictate your expectations. You stop letting fear shape your decisions. Earth's economy may rise, it may fall, but heaven's economy remains constant. God does not supply according to the world's instability. He supplies according to his glorious riches. His riches are not seasonal. His generosity is not limited. His provision is not fragile. You live from a higher source, a higher system, and a higher supply. Say, God is my source. Praise the Lord. This truth breaks the lie that you must fear lack or brace for shortage. Many believers unconsciously tie their confidence to their paycheck, their savings, or their circumstances. But heaven's economy is not paycheck-based. It is promise-based. It is not savings-based. It is covenant-based. The enemy wants you to believe you are vulnerable to the world's instability. But scripture declares the opposite. Your needs are met according to heaven's riches. You are not at the mercy of the world. I repeat, you are not at the mercy of the world. You are under the care of your Father. Living this way produces peace and boldness. You stop panicking when the world shakes because your supply does not come from the world. You stop shrinking your dreams to match your bank account because heaven's economy funds heaven's assignments. Can you say thank you for our church building? Hallelujah. You stop expecting shortage and start expecting supply. When you know you live under heaven's economy, you walk with quiet confidence. You give freely. You plan boldly. You rest deeply. You live with the awareness that God's riches, not earthly resources, define your provision. Today is about embracing the truth that you are not limited by earthly scarcity. You are supplied by heaven's abundance. You live under a kingdom economy that never runs out, never slows down, never fails. Hallelujah. And here's our confession. I live under heaven's economy. God supplies all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. And I'm going to pray this prayer over us tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is our source, that you are our source, and your riches supply every need in our life. We rest in your abundance today, confident that your provision never wavers and never fails. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you receive that tonight? Glory to God. And the closing charge on this is walk today and tomorrow and the rest of your lives. I added that part. Walk with heaven confidence. Your source is unlimited and your supply is secure. Praise God. Aren't these a blessing? I thought for our offering messages, we can look at this because I just received that word. It's encouraging. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. It helps get us back in line, you know, because there's so much going on around us. And we have these built, you know, our building project, our building fund, and what God's doing to increase us as a church family here, as a family in your own personal lives. And so we're expecting that. If you want to hear more about our vision or learn more about it, there's a QR code on the screen. And you all know we're believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth, with rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms for our children's ministry, young adults, and a fellowship hall, which includes a kitchen. And let me tell you, while we've been in with the children's room, our vision has been expanding because I had also seen a playground for the children, you know, a stage for the children to not just perform like skits and things like that, but that they can have their worship team, that they can practice getting up and ministering a message. And we want to see them laying hands on the sick and them laying hands on one another, which we're already doing in there. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. And so believe for it, release your faith in this and watch what God can do, what only He can do in our faith projects as well at home. We're believing with one another. So what are you believing for? Think about that. That's what we're sowing our seed for. Name your seed, sow it, and you will reap your harvest. That's the law of seed, time, and harvest. And so there's an option when giving online to choose building fund or write this on the envelope in the room as you sow into this. And as you give today and this evening by cash or credit card, use the offering envelope and sign the signature line if given by credit card. Please make checks payable to BLFC. And we invite you online to join with us as well. And we thank you all for the blessing that you are in our lives and in the life of the church. Praise God. Let's say our offering confession. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may receive the offering this evening.
Thank you, Lord. Well, Father God, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you for this word, this opportunity to gather together in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth here to lead us, to guide us into. Yes, say, Holy Spirit is leading me tonight unto all truth. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have this series we've been starting on a few weeks now called The Authority of the Believer. Praise God. And in this, we have been building our case. And so far, I have an outline here that's going to take us here for another couple of months. And so tonight, we're going to just pick up on the next chapter of this. And this is called Your Position of Authority. You have a seat, praise God, of authority in Christ, and we need to see more about that. You know, and so I want to have this foundation text here, and I want to go ahead and read that, and we're just going to unpack it and get right into it. But this is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 here in our notes. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might display the surpassing riches of his grace demonstrated by his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as we move deeper into this series, I want to confront something tonight that every believer at some point in your life, or even on some level, you have, or maybe you currently are, wrestling with this. Whether or not you're admitting it, again, most of us at some point are wrestling with this, and it is this. Again, many Christians are spending their lives fighting for victory. We're trying to get victory instead of fighting from our seated position of victory in Christ. Hallelujah. So in this, you know, and again, I've been in ministry now for 13 years. And so the first 10 years of that ministry, I worked on a prayer line, was a lead over it, and then eventually a supervisor over it. So but in that time, I got to minister one-on-one to tens and thousands of people. And something that I noticed and picked up on pretty quick is that most Christians, those that, again, that are calling, they're all coming and praying and approaching their situations from the bottom up. You know, God's out here somewhere. My victory is out here somewhere. My healing is out here somewhere. And I'm under the barrel. I'm under the table. And I'm just trying to claw my way up out of this pit. And oh, God, could you please? You know, oh, God, send the power just now. And again, everything is from this place of I'm down here. And God and victory and all this stuff is out there. And I'm now trying to get God to move on my behalf. Well, here's the truth. If you were here on Sunday, you heard about this. And if you weren't, you have to go back and hear this. And if you were, go back and hear it again. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And I'm here to tell you on this subject, the authority of the believer, I first heard about this in 2010, and I have not yet fully arrived. Amen. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still developing. Praise God, as we all are and need to be. And so that I say that as I'm preaching this to you, I'm also writing the book on this. And so I'm believing here in the next couple of months when we get this wrapped up, I'm going to be able to get that book out to us right away. So they're not just, you know, I'm everything I do, I always do with you in mind, the devotion and all of this. But at the same time, I'm believing for this thing to go and touch the body of Christ, you know, and be an impact for them, because we need to know these things. Again, I saw it too long, thousands and thousands and thousands. It was a rare exception that I got to talk to somebody who actually understood this and actually would speak and declare and pray from that place. And again, it has everything to do with whether or not you're going to see that breakthrough or just keep going around the mountain, going around the mountain, going around the mountain, but never arrive. You know, I think of it as, again, a lot of this is really just that hamster wheel. You're running and praying and all of this stuff and going nowhere. You know, and at the end of the day, you're completely exhausted. You're completely wore out. Things don't work out. And then you blame God. Well, God, you know, we just never know what his will is. We don't know what he's going to do. God doesn't care. All of these other types of things. And it's none of that. God cares immensely. That's why he sent his only begotten son. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Amen. That's why he did all of these things for you and I. He didn't do it for self. He was doing just fine where he was. On his own, but no, he did all of this for you. So just because you got sick, God doesn't need to go and send Jesus back to Calvary to bear more stripes on his back. When he says in 1 Peter 2:24, I bore those stripes for you at Calvary, and by those stripes you're healed. Now, what do you say? You agree with that, and by faith, I make that divine exchange and I receive it, or I can just continue to pray, oh, God, please, could you, would you? I hope you will. That's no faith. That's no authority. You're just out here making noise, you know, and that's not how it works. So again, our authority is not activated by our intensity, screaming and shouting and hollering. And, you know, we're going to bombard the gates of heaven with prayer. I've heard that a time or two, you know, as if, you know, God, the gates aren't closed to the believer, you know, and first off, you know, anyway, I just authority is not activated by great need. You know, just because you have a great need, a financial need, you know, a need to get free in an area, or maybe you're literally knocking on death's door. Again, your authority does not flow from a great need. Right? Your authority flows from your position in Christ. In this, here's an analogy for us. Think about a courtroom. You know, in a courtroom, I'm sure you've either been to a court, or you've seen it on TV or something like that. You know, when it's time for the judge to enter, what happens? The bailiff stands up, all rise. You know, he announces the judge, you know, honor, you know, Mooney came in, you know, and then we come over here, we take our seat. Again, this is an elevated position. It's the highest seat in all of this courtroom. And if you go to any courtroom throughout history, they all operate the exact same way. There's always these seats of authority. And then the judge takes down this seat. And when he takes that seat, court's in session. From that moment on, this judge has authority over that courtroom. You rise up and you start making some noise, sit down. If you don't sit down and be quiet, what happens? You're in contempt. That'll be a $1,000 fine. That's a $2,000 fine, and bailiff, arrest that person, take him out of here. And they get led in cuffs out the side door. Yeah. Why? The judge has ruled. And guess what? The judge isn't out here huffing and puffing. Oh, well, he's not screaming and shouting. He's in his seat. He's calm and cool and collected. He just looks down over there. I've ruled. This is how it is. You're gone. Amen. That's a picture that we're going to look at tonight of our seated position. This is how we, Romans 5:17 says, we reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I'm here to reign in life. I'm not sweating. I'm not toiling. No. I'm just in my seat because I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who's here with me. I know this word that I am declaring is not something I just dreamed up this morning. No, I am here in the authority of the word. I have been clothed in power. Amen. I've been given the name above all names, and I rule, and sickness, disease, you're out of here. Ungodly soul ties, addictions, and all, you're out of here. Amen. Now, arresting officer, angels, go get them, take them out. Amen. That's what they're there for. Thank you, Jesus. So, glory to God. Ephesians 2 told us that we have a seat. Amen. So again, no, I always have to make note of this. Paul does not say that you will be seated someday. He does not say that you might be seated if you grow up enough spiritually. No. He says that you were seated. He says, first off, you were made alive together, you were raised together, and then you were seated together with Christ in the heavenly realms. Praise God. And again, until you know where you are seated, you're going to pray, you're going to speak, and you're going to fight from the wrong place. You're going to fight out of your own strength. You're going to fight again from the bottom up instead of reigning from the top down. Glory to God. So here tonight, we're going to unpack this in Ephesians 2:5. This first thing I want to note here is made alive with Christ. He says that you have been made alive with Christ even when you were dead in your trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. This word, it's a compound word, made alive, is the word sued. Thank you, Lord. Sudzoapoieo. Yeah, it's Greek. Amen. It means to reanimate conjointly with. It means to have shared life. Again, this really was not a word prior to Paul. Is taking these Greek words and he's literally smashing them together to try to give you an image of this is what's happened, because this is not normal. This is nothing that's really happened before. No one shares a life together. You know, husbands and wives, we get that. But he says, no, this is much more than Rodney and Paula got married. You know, this is more than just you share a bank account. It includes all that, but oh, you literally have one life together. His life is your life. Amen. Praise God. So again, made alive means to reanimate conjointly with, or it means shared life. So this again, salvation, he says, when you are dead in your trespasses, it's by grace you have been saved. This is not God upgrading or improving your old life. Again, your old life, your old nature has sin attached to it. There cannot be 1 ounce of sin, no remembrance of sin of any kind in the presence of God. Cannot exist. He is so perfectly, absolutely holy, there cannot even be the smell of smoke. Amen. For that reason, he says, no, sin has to be judged. Sin in any least little bitty bit, it deserves death. It has to be completely removed. It cannot exist. Amen. So again, our salvation is not God improving our old life. You know, Jesus didn't come here to this earth to try to give us just a few sermons, you know, try harder, do better, you can do it. I'm for you. I'm praying for you. I'm really hoping you do work this out. No, he came to give us life. And the only way he could do that was to lay down his life for us. So literally at the new birth, God is literally killing that old man and he's imparting the life of Christ into you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. This is not renovation. This is regeneration. Praise God. So again, this is not God just resuscitating the old man. Hey, praise. He's not cleaning up the old man. He's literally recreating you in the image and likeness of God himself, going all the way back to Genesis 1:26. Adam lost it. Christ came to get it back. Praise God. And he did it and much more. Praise God. So again, God's not giving us a second chance. God has given us a second birth. Praise God. So again, when Christ was resurrected, we must see ourselves, every believer, we have to see ourselves as being spiritually reanimated in that moment. And we shared in Christ's death, his burial, and in his resurrection. Praise God, you are Christ. Christ is you. You have become one. Again, Galatians 3:27 says you were baptized into Christ. You share in all of it, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Hallelujah to Jesus. The word says in Colossians 2:13, when you were dead, say I was dead. When you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Say, I'm a made man. Praise God. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our trespasses. Every single offense, every sin, every trespass, he forgave it. He, again, going back to Sunday, he literally imputes all of that onto Jesus on the cross, and Jesus becomes sin, and your sin gets nailed to that cross, and it gets fully judged. It gets executed. Your sin. So again, you missed it. That's not okay. But that sin has been judged, and it has been dealt with in blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Huh. Your authority. Praise God, huh? No, well, thinking about this, again, God made you alive in Christ. Your sin is nailed to the cross. But thinking about this, you as a dead man, you could not respond. You could not move on your own. You could not help yourself. You and I were literally slaves to sin, and we literally, in and of ourselves, in and of humanity, even as a collective, had no hope. We had no hope. There was only one who could get us back, and that was a holy, righteous human being. Amen. So this is why Jesus had to come through the virgin birth, live a holy life, live without sin as a representative for you and I so that he could qualify to be that final Passover lamb on the cross that day. Praise God. Ha. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Colossians 2:13 confirms for you and I that our starting point was spiritual death. Again, not a spiritual cleanup. Spiritual death is literally where you and I started. So again, our authority cannot flow from death or our old sinful self. It must flow from our identification in his resurrection life. Your authority flows from his resurrection life. It does not flow from you. There's no part of your flesh that is operating in divine authority. No, my authority flows from his resurrection life. He says, God made you alive together with Christ. Again, alive together. I'm not near Christ. I'm not parallel to Christ. I've been made together in and with Christ. You and I, we are alive with Christ. We share his life, his nature, and his resurrection power. Again, I want to reference 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he who has been joined to the Lord has become one spirit with the Lord. I'm not just another spirit out here to the side of Christ. I'm not below Christ. We are literally one together. You and I, every believer, whoever was, has, or will be, we're all made to drink of the same cup. The same spirit. So because I have the same spirit, I've got the same name, I've got the same life, I've got the same seat. Come on now. Praise God. When we will understand this concept of oneness, I now rule and reign from this victorious position. All of the sicknesses, all the diseases, all of these things has already been defeated in Christ. I'm not trying to get victory over anything. Jesus already won it. He already, again, going back to Sunday, that triumph, he's already stripped the devil. He already made a public spectacle of the devil. He already dragged all that stuff down the street behind his chariot, parading it before all of the spiritual forces. He literally had a parade. Hallelujah. Again, we must understand this. Thank you, Jesus. Thinking about this, an organ transplant, a dying heart cannot heal itself. A failed organ cannot revive itself in and of itself. It must be replaced. So when a surgeon places a healthy heart into a dying body, the patient does not receive an improved heart. They receive a new source of life. The old life, the old sinful self has no power to sustain life or anything else. The new heart becomes your engine of existence. Can you say amen? Praise God. Huh? So in this, salvation is not God patching up the old. It is God transplanting Christ's life into your spirit man. You were made alive together with Christ, and now that shared life is the authority, is the foundation of your authority. Praise God. So again, identity begins with his shared life. If you do not understand identification with Christ, you can never operate in his authority, which is your authority. You, as long as you're identifying with my old sinful self, as long as I'm identifying with sickness and disease, I cannot live free. I cannot live from my seated position of realizing that all of that is already defeated 2,000 years ago and far under my feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The second one is raised together. Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up. God raised us up. That raised, that's past tense. Not going to raise, has raised. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This word raised together is the word sunagero. Again, a compound word. It means raised up together. It means shared resurrection. Again, Paul is just, again, he's smashing these Greek words together to try to describe what happened in Christ. This, again, the compound word, this comes from the word soon, meaning from, or it means beside, it means with, or it means including. Igiro means to awaken. It means to rouse from sleep. Now, get this. It also means to rise up from a sick bed, or to rise up from death. All right. So, yes, he says, including, along with, rising from the dead, glory to God, being raised together, rising from sleep, rising above your sickbed, getting free from that. So again, Christ's resurrection, he is saying it's your resurrection. It's your resurrection. When he rose, you rose. When he ascends, you ascend. Not going to, you have. Again, every part of Christ, you and I, we must identify with. So again, God did not raise Christ, and then later is going to raise you and I separately. Now, there is his second coming. Amen. This is the catching away of the church. This is literally when our bodies are taken out of the earth. Hallelujah. But positionally in the spirit, you are right now seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And yet he occupies all things and all time. We're also still right here in this earth in these earth suits, fulfilling the mission of occupying until he comes, reigning until he comes. Glory to God. So again, you and I, we were raised with Christ the same time, the same position in the same heavenly realm. Again, this is not a someday gospel. His resurrection is shared with us. Amen. This is not a staggered event. Praise God. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Amen. So again, when he dies on the cross, we're right there. We're dying on the cross with him. So we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, say me too, may walk in newness of life. This we too is highly significant. It ties your story directly to his death, burial, and resurrection. You were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ is raised from the dead to the glory of the Father. You too. You too. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This raised also means relocated. You're not trying to get out of the grave. You're already left. You're not trying to overcome. Hold in your mind right now, what have you been struggling with? What have you been dealing with? Whether these are thoughts, feelings, these emotions, whatever may be going on, addictions, whatever the situation is. Thank you, Lord. See yourself not as the one trying to get to that victory. Oh, I'm here, but I need to get there. I'm this, but I need to get that. No, see yourself the way God has already seen you and declared you. See yourself here. I see myself not trying to get restored. I see myself healed. Praise God. Again, God, Romans chapter 4, you know, spells this out for us. Again, you can see it throughout the Old Testament, but Romans chapter 4, Abraham is called the father of faith. Let me just turn over there for us. Romans chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before God, whom he believed, and who raises the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. God sees the end from the beginning, and he speaks that word only. He's not saying, "Oh, it's really dark out here. Huh. Whew, it's so dark, I can't see what I'm going to do." No, light be, light was. All of it. He sees what he wants. He sees the end result. Then he just starts declaring it. And then the lights come on. Then this happens. Then that happens. Then that happens. Abraham, his name was Abram. He changed it to Abraham, which literally means father of many nations. He got that word in Abraham's mouth. He said, now look up at the stars. He says, As the stars are in the heavens, so shall your descendants be. Now, they live in, it's over in the Middle East, right? Look out here at the sand. As numerous as the sand is, so shall your descendants be. He's given him a mental image of what this looks like. And then he says, Father of many nations. And in you all nations shall be blessed. He's given him an image of what this looked like. He's given him a word to say, and he's declaring this in before he ever has Isaac. He's 99. His body's as good as dead. Sarah, the same thing. She's, what, 91, 92? She's been barren her whole life anyway. She's well past the age of childbearing, the Bible says. And yet, he says, they believe God. What did he say here? Go on. Verse 18, against all hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body to be dead when he's about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was able to perform, and he inherited every bit of it. And we're here today testifying to it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we're not climbing for victory. We've already been raised. We're not trying to overcome. I'm not trying to overcome. If God had, again, if he's just talking about how dark it is, there's no light. If Abraham and Sarah just keep going on, well, I'm 99 and you're 92 and we're well past the age and you were barren your whole life anyway. I just don't know what we're going to do. I just, oh God, could you please? Oh God, I just don't know. If they had went on like that, then there would have been no father of many nations. Amen. There would have not have been Isaac. God would have had to find somebody else. But because he did, the Bible calls him the father of faith. Hallelujah. He saw the victory. Amen. When you go turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, Abraham and Sarah are both in there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, all they did was doing what we're sharing here tonight. They're not trying to overcome. Amen. They just saw themselves on the victory side, and they waged a good warfare in the spirit from that place. Abraham, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm father of many nations. I'm father of many nations. I'm not considering anything else. I'm not considering how my body feels. I'm not considering, you know, whatever addictions may have been, you know, trying to attach themselves to me. No, I see myself free in Christ. I see myself far above in Christ, and I just now live from that place. Amen. And all this other stuff just brings itself into alignment to cause the truth to come to pass. God's word can do anything but fail in the mouth of the believer who knows their authority. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It'll work every time. It'll work every time. Thank you, Lord. Seated together, we share a throne with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says, and seated us, seated, again, that's past tense, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I've been seated in Christ. Say, I've been seated in Christ. Praise God. Not beside him, not beneath him, in him. Praise God. This word seated us with him. Again, a compound word, but it's sung kathizo. It means sat down together, joint seating. It means shared authority. It means co-enthroned. It emphasizes the transformation from a state of spiritual death to one of shared authority with Christ. Now, this right here is the highest revelation of positional authority. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You were dead. Hallelujah. Yes, we were, but we've been made alive. Let me get back over here to the right page. Thank you, Jesus. We're seated with Christ in the same seat, the same position, and that same elevation. Praise God, our seating is governmental. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, the seat of ultimate authority. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, the seat of ultimate authority. And you and I, we are right now sitting, seated positionally with Christ. Your seat is your jurisdiction. over this earth. Hallelujah. Your seat is your authority. Again, think of the judge. He's ruling from his seat. He's not getting down out of his seat, running around over here, bowing up to whoever's causing contempt. No, he's right here, seated. I've ruled. And whatever is needed, we've got the bailiff over here and as many deputies as we need to call upon to enforce this what I have just decreed. You don't get to challenge it. You're out. Devil, you're out. I've ruled. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My seat is my authority, and my seat is my enforcement. Now, note here, Christ defines the seat. Ephesians 1:21 tells us where Christ is seated. It says, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Christ is seated far above. Amen. So if Christ is seated far above, and you are seated with Christ, then you and I, we are also seated far above. So again, we're not trying to get above our enemy. We're not trying to win victory over the enemy. You and I are already seated far above, and they are already defeated. They are in that triumph possession, you know, that Jesus already led down the street. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That this co-enthroned, I was looking this up, you know, and there are a lot of examples actually throughout history, and I just noted a few here of kings and emperors ruling jointly. Well, one such is William and Mary in 1689. William III and Mary II were crowned as joint sovereigns of England, Scotland, and Ireland. Also in ancient Sparta, they famously operated under a permanent dual monarchy called a diarchy, where two kings from different dynasties ruled simultaneously. They literally shared the crown, military command, and priestly duties. Also, Ferdinand and Isabella in Spain in 1479, they ruled their respective kingdoms of Castile and Aragon together as an equal unit, which created the foundation, actually, for the unified Spain that we know of today. Amen. So these are just some examples, but it's given us this picture. You and I, we're not, again, we're not beside Christ. We're not beneath Christ. We are in Christ. And therefore, because we're in Christ, we share his seating. We share his authority, and which is saying that in this, you and I, we have been seated in the highest seat of the universe with Christ. When Jesus, when we see over here, in my name, again, Jesus in John 14 at the Last Supper, he gives the church power of attorney. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And then we see over in Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given unto me. Praise God. So all authority, whether it's in heaven, in this earth, under the earth, now in all the ages to come, in this name, you rule and reign. And you do it right now. Praise God. So again, whatever it is, his name, he's already defeated it in his name. You and I just simply take the name, bang the gavel, we're done. Out of here. Praise God. And all I'm here to do is just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. I thank you, Lord. I'm on that victory side tonight. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you really enforce that position. Praise God. We see this again, going back to Abraham. Romans chapter 4, against all hope, he believed in hope he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. But now here's the key to this. Again, he accepts the name. Okay, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. You've given me a promise of the blessing through my seed. So there's going to come a son. You know, Isaac. And so he holds on to this, but now verse 19 gives you this key ingredient. He says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He didn't consider Sarah's body. He says in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, what God had said, he was able to perform. So what does this look like for you and I today? Okay, I'm not going to be weak in faith. Number one, I'm not going to consider my body. If there's something going on in my physical body, I'm not considering that. If there's something going on in my soul, something that's been holding me captive, been holding me in bondage, I'm not giving place to that. I'm not considering that. I know these things in the natural. I know that they're true. I understand that. He understood this. He said, but I'm not going to consider that. I'm not going to give place to that. I'm going to consider one thing, what God said. I'm going to fix my eyes. And so now I have come into agreement. I've come into alignment with God. And so now, as we've seen in the past, homologio, we see it throughout the New Testament. It means homo, same, logio, I'm saying. It means to say the same thing as God says. God, you have said, by your stripes I was healed. I agree with you. And so I choose to fix myself. I choose to align myself with healing. And in the name of Jesus, sickness, disease, whatever has attacked me in my soul, in my body, in my finances, you get out in the name of Jesus. I'm ruling on this today. And from this moment forward, it's dealt with. And so now all that's left to do is, oh, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Oh, yes, I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that I'm whole. Hallelujah. I want to thank you that my needs are met according to the glorious riches in Christ, not according to me. I can't heal myself. I can't set myself free. Amen. And I'm not here, you know, to provide for myself. I am an ambassador. An ambassador is provided for by the kingdom that sends them. He meets all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All I'm here to do tonight is just praise God that I'm on that victory side. And what am I really doing? Praise is really the highest form of faith. Praise is saying, I know what the word says, and I'm just praising God, and I'm going to keep doing so until I see the full manifestation of it. There's nothing else to consider. There's nothing else to do other than thank you, Jesus. I thank you that the word is working. I thank you that the word is alive and active. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We enforce victory from our seat. So I brought this seat up here tonight. And sometimes I do this at the house, you know, and I think it's good. Enforce victory from your seat. When I take time to do this, and again, you don't have to physically do it, but I think it can help you. Go find a seat in your house. But before you sit down, picture the seat of Christ. He says he sits at the Father's right hand. Okay, so I picture the throne room of God. Here's God the Father. Here's Christ. Christ is seated, clothed in glory and splendor. Again, I picture the triumphant possession of all of the devil, all the defeat stripped and all of those things, sickness, disease. I picture that in my mind. I see this. Again, maybe I need to go read some scriptures on it. Whatever it is, I get the image of this. And then I come over here and I take my seat as that judge, you know, and I just kind of look down over, you know, there's the earth under my feet. Here's this devil. Here's all of these things. Whatever's been harassing me, whatever's been going on, I get the right image of that. And then again, I'm come back over here. Okay, I'm clothed in glory. I'm seated far above. I'm ruling and reigning in this life by one Jesus Christ. And now I decree. Now I declare, and I tell that devil where to go. Satan, it is written by his stripes. Satan, it's written. God meets all my needs. Satan, it's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. Now get out of here. Get out. Hit that door over there. Don't you ever come back. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you speak to that mountain. You be removed. You be cast out into the sea. Don't you ever come back. He said, you'll have what you say. Amen. Don't pray. Again, Jesus didn't teach us to pray to the mountain. He didn't teach us to pray to him about the mountain. He said, no, you have faith in God and take this word and you speak to it. You tell it where to go. It'll go. Amen. It will obey you. Amen. This is how we reign in life. Again, this is why the church is called Victory Life Family Church. This is it. It's this concept. I'm not trying to get victory. I'm enforcing the victory Christ gave me. And so I'm aware of that place. And from this seat, I do kingdom business. Kings do not do business out there on the street. Kings do business in the throne room. They decree a thing and it's established. Hallelujah. Where's my scripture over here in Job? Hallelujah. This is fun. Job 22:28. You will decree a thing and it will be established unto you. You shall decree a thing. Who gives decrees? Kings. You shall decree a thing and it will be established unto you. Again, this is Old Testament. Don't pray to God about the mountain. You speak to it. You decree it. You declare. You tell it where to go. Get behind me, Satan. It's written. And when you will do that, God is there to back his word. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I watch over my word to perform it. When you will speak it with the authority of Christ, it will flee from you. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I know we share this and we're going to keep going back to it. James 4:7 says, submit to God, submit to the authority of the word, submit to who you are in Christ. Submit to this seated position. He says, submit to God. You resist the devil will flee from you. Amen. This is the authority of the believer. When we will do it the way God says it, it'll work in your life 100% of the time, exactly like it worked for Jesus, who modeled this for us. Praise God. Well, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get something out of that tonight?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's all declare this together. I'm made alive with Christ. I'm raised together with Christ. I am seated together with Christ. I share his position. I share his authority. I share his jurisdiction. I speak from my seat, not my situation. I rule from above, not beneath. I enforce victory from the throne, not from the circumstance. I am seated far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name. This is my position. This is my authority. This is who I am in Christ. Praise God. Romans 10, we want to give you an opportunity, amen, to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He says in Romans 10:13, for everyone or whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. And you can rule and reign at that moment in time. Praise God. You don't have to wait 10 years. You can rule and reign as a brand new believer, 1 minute old. Thank you, Jesus. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is your son, and that you sent him to the cross to pay the price for my sin. I believe that Jesus, you were raised from the dead, and I confess you now as my Savior, as my Lord. Jesus, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. I am yours to command. Amen.
Praise God. We believe, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and verse 13, that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved, you are in the kingdom of God, and you are qualified right now to rule and reign in this life through one Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, we're going to be back here Friday prayer, 9 o'clock, 9 to 10, and then pre-service prayer on Sunday, 9:20, and then service starts at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, know this, God loves you, we love you, and in Him, we are living in victory.